God waits. God waits for you. God waits for me. God waits for us. God waits. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. In the Gospel of Matthew, the favorite term used to describe Jesus of Nazareth is not, as some of the Gospels, it is rabbi, teacher. Jesus as teacher. A little gospel that we have spent last year diving into for the full year in our lectionary cycle of readings of the Gospel. Jesus is the prophet who comes. In Matthew, he is a teacher who comes to teach. In a few weeks' time, at Christmas, we'll be singing lots of heretical music that we love called Christmas carols. I only say heretical simply because a lot of it is themed around Jesus being born to die. And while that may be true, I think Jesus came to do more than just die. He came to teach. He came to instruct, to give an example of holy living, and he came to teach us about the kingdom of God in its fullness and what we can expect. So it's not just the death and resurrection of Christ, but the life, death, and resurrection of Christ we celebrate. And so we read his story and tell it. Part of the problem with being a teacher is you're teaching people who don't want to learn. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had no time for the lesson he wanted to teach them. In fact, the lesson was so threatening, they really had to get rid of it because it was upending the rules and expectations and assumptions about what proper religious life, what social life, what life was supposed to be. Jesus turns it on its head. And it is a very threat to their power and their privileged status. The leaders of society did not want this message. And so they thought to stamp it out. It's a problem. It's a problem for him. It's a problem for Paul and his letter to Romans today. He's going to have four footnotes in his text. As it's written like that, and again it's written, and again it's written, and again it's written. We're going to mark Rebecca beautifully today, but he's got to keep going to scripture and say, hey, and what is he saying? The Gentiles get a shot, too. That it's not just about the privileged tribe, not just about a particular kind of person that gets saved, but everyone is welcome. Everyone is embraced by God's love. Everyone is encouraged to make a choice and to be part of the kingdom of God. Not just this group or not just that group. And the people of Jesus' day didn't very care much for that kind of openness. They wanted it closed. They wanted it protected. They wanted the perfect status maintained. And so Jesus died. Jesus was murdered for it. But the Gentiles, that's you and me, we're welcome. This is the teacher proclaiming this crazy message, this incredible upside-down world of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist is the prophet in this gospel, rather than the message we heard today. And John the Baptist has come to tell the people that one who's mightier than I is about to come. He will teach you the way. I'm baptizing you with water. He baptizes with Holy Spirit and fire. Just a side note, every year it's always good to point out that John the Baptist, in which Jesus was baptized, is not Christian baptism. John's baptism is a mikvah, a baptism of repentance, to which certain sects of Judaism still participate in practice, and that most world religions involve some sort of ritual bathing activity anyway. Christian baptism is different. Christian baptism is not just repentance for forgiveness of sin. It is the identification with the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. to go into the watery grave and come out as citizens in the kingdom of God. So just a side point on baptismal theology, not that you don't already know, but there it is. Today, we have Jesus coming to teach us that the kingdom of God is announced by John. And he's the teacher. To teach us. And we still, possibly, don't want to learn the lesson. There's a thing about teachers, and I don't have to preach a sermon about teaching, and here it is. Because we have lots of teachers in our midst. Parents, clearly, you have that role. And if you're not a parent, you have a role in place of employment where you're teaching, but then there are the professional teachers, who are some of you tired, breathing a life of ease now, however, are in the trenches. All of us have had teachers in our lives, haven't we? And some of us might make the mistake that it's, oh, since we know it, it must be easy to do. Since there are so many teachers, well, anyone can do it. Let's take a bigger view of the planet at the moment to tell you about how the pressures that are on our teachers at the moment. The bigger view is that about 20 years ago, it took 25 people to produce $1 million worth of manufactured goods. Today, it takes 5 people. What changed was technology and robots. We're living into an age now, globally, that is so different because ways to make a living are under enormous pressure because there are less and less of them. Into that is the profession of teaching and public education. Teaching is in the crosshairs, because one is an expensive proposition. Because in New Jersey, at least, with the highest property taxes in the nation, I think, most of that is going towards teaching our citizens to be educated and wise, in theory. It might go toward fire prevention and fire inspectors, Jack, but I think mostly it's not much, not enough. So the pressure is that to make that more efficient, isn't it? Because it's diminishing society of regular jobs. What is happening to the teaching profession? It's getting squeezed, as everyone is, as we all are. But teaching is not as easy as it looks for those of us who have had teachers in our lives. And one of the ways is the degree to which they have to be specifically intentional all day long. So I'll give you one little metaphor, one little aspect of one analogy that goes back to the gospel today. Teachers have to pay attention about how long they wait. I have used this in a sermon about 5 years ago. Does anybody remember my metaphor of wait time? No? Good. In a different context. Studies have shown teachers like the rest of us have a bias, have a prejudice about their students. We all knew it was a very student in class, didn't we? They asked one group of teachers if they would rate their class and list of 25 kids in the class. What if the quintile was 5 smartest? And then so on all the way down to 5 least smart. They did this 6 months into the year, and at the end of the year, they measured them. When they were asking their students questions, how long the teacher would wait for the answer. And what they found was uniform across the whole number of teachers and so on. If the teacher had previously assigned a smarter status to the student, they allowed that student a longer wait time for the answer. Because they thought, oh, they'll get it. And they went after the less smart students. They didn't give them as much wait time because they thought they'd never get the answer until they moved on to the next student. Right? Because they just assumed, and it goes up, you could see yourself, And we've all done it. Wait time. Another basic technical jargon in latency time. You allow for students with any of special needs and special ed students, it's even more important to allow for cognitive power to organize themselves in a certain way. I go down the basement and I'm waiting for them to figure out why I was down there. And the latency, the wait time, you know. And I'm waiting and it dies. And I go back upstairs and I remember I go back downstairs. And it's good getting ready for CC because it's good for my class. But wait time. Being deliberate and purposeful. And what will it do to a person? Over days after days and years, a teacher is slowing you off and moving on to the smart student. What will it do to you if you're not given wait time? How will that craft your self-perception? Have you not been given the wait time you needed? What did that do to you? God waits for us. God provides us wait time for our heart to figure it out. Who do you need to provide wait time for in your life? Your spouse, your partner, your child, your friend, your boss. Who do you need to ask for more time? Could you give me a second? I'm figuring it out. I'll get back to you soon. Who do you need to give grace on? God waits. John the Baptist told us, get ready. Stop waiting. It's important. Figure it out. I'm coming. Jesus says, I'm here. Figure me out. I'm waiting on you. We need to look at the larger world. Are we not allowing some people more wait time? You need it. I need it. We need it. God waits.